Many people who go to medical school describe their years of training often as brutal. That was the experience of commentator Alyssa Eli when she was studying to be a psychiatrist. But getting a dog eventually made things easier.
In the early days of training, I was too busy and too miserable for a dog. When I'd come home after a night on call, I'd find dishes half filled with cereal from an unfinished breakfast of the morning before, and I'd eat what was left for dinner. A surgical resident would consider a psychiatrist's duties shamelessly light, but they're heavy in their own ways. The despair of a stranger at 3 a.m. brings on despair in the one who listens, too. After a year or two, the call schedule lightened. I took 2 weeks off and adopted my dog, Sandy. By then I was taking call from home, and though the phone rang until dawn, it was possible to answer from bed and consider clinical scenarios in a nightgown. Occasionally it was necessary to drive to the hospital to examine a patient and arrange for admission. Once in a while there was an impossible night with a number of trips in. I took these nights hard, though Sandy tolerated the separations with grace. After he punched out on his circadian clock for the evening, he rarely opened an eye in farewell or welcome. One night the moon was full, and by 3 a.m. I was reaching for the car keys for the fourth trip in. From his side of the bed, Sandy opened one eye. I thought I detected disappointment in his gaze, though it might have been a disturbed sleep cycle. Nonetheless, I suddenly made the decision, against all laws of infection control, hospital protocol, and visiting hours. With a milk bone in his mouth and a leash around his neck, my boy ambled through the front door of the hospital as if he were on the way to his routine medical rounds. No one seemed to care. In the silent foyer, a late-shift floor cleaner was running his machine and did not look up. The admitting clerk had his head in his arms on his desk. In the psych emergency room, though, there was chaos. Patients were backed up against walls and sitting on floors. It looked as if everyone had arrived at the same hour for an overbooked flight. Faces were filled with fury, terror, despair, and drunken indifference. I started to hustle the dog into the staff room, but before we could reach the door, a woman stood up and walked over. She'd been standing in the corner talking loudly to herself. She wore a kerchief, and her face was painted a ferocious shade of orange. "Can I?" she said, and leaned down to pet him. Serenely, Sandy rolled onto his back and raised all four legs into the air. His tail swayed back and forth. The woman smiled. Not everyone smiled or came over to pet him, but everyone watched. It seemed to me that a few of the angry, fearful, lost faces momentarily softened. We weren't in our separate, difficult worlds. We were simply gathered together to admire someone at peace with his own magnificent self.
Alyssa Eli is a psychiatrist at a Massachusetts state hospital. She comes to us by way of member station WBUR in Boston.